This is the thing too. Look at the World Series. The Astros were down 2-1. If that's the world, if that's the wild card, Astros eliminated.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm sure the number of teams that have come back from down 2-0 probably reasonably high. But in a best of three series, again, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would imagine the number of teams that come back from down 2-0 in a best of three series gotta be close to zero.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan. Wire.
And another one. My goodness.
It's kind of funny, man, with the way the baseball season started a little later and went a little later, and it was like November and World Series games were still being played. It just kind of felt like the fall was just going to go on forever. Like, yeah. Baseball wasn't going to end this year. And then I was on the road this weekend, and man, did it ever snow, and the roads were brutal. And then
winter
the
is
Astros,
here.
The Astros like put the nail in the coffin and brought the World Series back to Houston. Winter's here, man. Baseball season's over. This is officially the offseason. We're in it.
Yeah, minus 25 out there right now. So
it is freaking cold as all get out. I went and started the car yesterday, and like it was the, you know, the cold start where you're like,
oh, yeah,
great. Okay, here we are. We're in it. Yeah,
here we are.
All right, everybody. Well, hello and welcome to the walk off. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. It is a Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon and the first mailbag of the off season. And we've got all sorts of interaction to get to. I know Adam and I were talking just yesterday about how much the walk off community has built. And I kind of want to just send a quick little like thank you out to all of you who have been with us for like the last 2 years. You know, there's a real tip of the hat to the Patreon too. I feel like sometimes maybe we ignore you more than we should. And I hope you know that you're very much appreciated, and we are focusing more on figuring out what to do for Patreon coming up here. We are thinking of like maybe another contest here, another jersey or something like that here. So go
ahead.
The
problem with Patreon is just, we don't know what we're doing. That's all there is to it. It's not for a lack of appreciation. It's for a lack of skill.
Let everyone gasp at that news first. Let that sink in.
That we are borderline incompetent.
That we don't know what we're doing. Okay, I think everyone has adjusted to that giant news. The breaking news.
Hold on. We've been muted this whole time. Let me just quickly turn on the sound. All right. Real talk, though. Yeah, we are 3,600 subscribers and counting. We just hit 100 on our Clips channel, so that's cool. That's growing every single day. We're on the push for 5,000. So if you're new here, or if you've been here for a while and you haven't subscribed yet, please do. If you check us out on the audio side, consider subscribing to the YouTube channel. It helps when we do get advertisers. Those numbers seem to be important when it comes to contract negotiations.
Yes.
And if you watch us on YouTube, go download Spotify or iTunes and just subscribe over there, even if you don't listen. Those downloads help our numbers as well.
To all the new followers, thank you so much. Appreciate it. I know we've had several new people join Discord who have been, and the new people have been pretty active, which is always cool to see. I know how many times people join Discord and then all of a sudden I see them pipe up like 6 months in, and I'm like, oh, they're getting involved now. But it's cool when they just get in and they're like, geez. All right. Cool. You can always get a hold of us. We go through all of our interaction throughout the week, whether it be on Twitter, a Walk Off Podcast, or on Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. We go through our Discord. There is going to be a link for that in the show notes. You can always DM us. Those are the best ways to get a hold of us. Okay. Or drop your comment in the YouTube section. That is very helpful as well. And then we get to as many as we possibly can. We actually have a really heavy mailbag for the first one of the off season. So if you don't get your stuff read, it is not personal, except for like three of you, in which case it's very personal.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. No. Okay. Let's get into it.
All right. First one comes in from Marcus. A great mailbag today, guys, obviously from last week. He says, I have to say your interviews have a true unedited and unfiltered feel to the quality. You'd never guess there was any post-production done at all. Laugh emoji. So
see, this was in response to us telling you about Patreon and the fact that you get the full unedited version there.
It's like, oh, what a shot fired from Marcus. I love it.
And Marcus is one of those guys we were kind of giving a tip of the hat to earlier. Marcus has been with us a long time, dropping comments, and has been subscribed for a long time. So
and as
thank
always,
you, Marcus.
We appreciate the ball busting.
Yes.
Some more fun ones to get to here. This is from Andrew on YouTube. I'll just sprinkle some cheese on the comment section. So that is our new running gag, I suppose. Cheese
velo.
Being the velo of the pitching world. So there you go. Jason chimes in and says, I come for the baseball talk. I stay for Adam's dumb analogies. So there we go. Let's get
your
to
your dumb analogies are tops in my books, bud.
All right. Yeah. Appreciate you. Let's get to some real comments and some real baseball talk here. We got pitching stuff to talk to. We got trade prospects to get to, all sorts of news. So first one comes in from our Clips channel, which by the way, 107 subscribers over there. So appreciate it. Go check us out if you haven't yet. If you're watching us on the full channel, you're probably seeing this as like a 50-ish minute video, but the Clips channel, good for 5 minute, 10 minute, 12 minute clips. So there you go. So Alan Warnock, and I got to say, Alan was persistent with his commenting. He commented on this particular theme probably a dozen times on various videos over the past week. The gist of it is this from Alan. We need MLB experienced hitting coaches to bring all these kids up to a 280, 300 batting average. It makes them worth way more in a trade, too. Have you noticed that all our hitters declined in batting average this year? So, yes, this is true. But I do want to say our batting average as a team went down 2 points from last season. We were 266 last season. Sorry, that's just my drug dealer. Anybody who knows me at all knows that's hilarious. Anybody who doesn't know me thinks I'm a degenerate.
I'm the degenerate, everybody.
Scott's the degenerate.
Stop here. Yeah. Yes.
Blue Jays led all of baseball in batting average this year.
A year that was down in offense across the board.
Yeah. Astros led baseball in batting average last year. This year, they were 12th. Their team batting average dropped 20 points last year to this year. We dropped what, like 2 points?
You're talking about the World Series champion Houston Astros.
Yes, we had a better offensive team than they did. The bats are not the problem here, I guess, is the
big takeaway. Alan, we do appreciate your determination to get the message through, and on this one, I just disagree. Like, obviously everyone's entitled to their opinion. I really think Guillermo Martinez is locked in with this organization for the long term going forward. I think that he is one of John Schneider's guy. I don't think we're going to see any sort of mass exodus of coaches for more MLB experienced guys. And I don't think you necessarily need MLB experience to be a good coach. You just need a really good grasp of the game which obviously these guys have. And it's not like Grandma Martinez didn't toil away in the minors for years and years and years, didn't play all the way to AAA. I haven't taken an actual look at his stat cast or anything like that. But it's when it comes to coaching, so much of it is how good of a teacher you are, how you are able to impart knowledge and pass along instructions.
Well,
you know, like it's like when Wayne Gretzky became a coach, right? Like the top guys, they're just like, do it. Like, why can't you do it?
Well, and this is where the old adage comes from. Those who can't teach.
And it's not even a knock. It's like,
no, it's
if you've struggled, you understand the importance of being able to communicate how to do something. But if everything you do is easy.
And one of my favorite, I mean, this is an anecdotal story like the Wayne Gretzky one, but the Miami Marlins hired Barry Bonds to be their hitting coach. One of the worst hitting coaches of all time. One of the greatest hitters of all time, if not the greatest hitter of all time. But like you said, the problem is when Barry Bonds gets in the batting cage with you and he's looking at your swing, he's just giving you advice like, well, just pick up the spin quicker. Just react faster. Like the feedback is not, nobody has that level of skill to match what Barry Bonds is doing. So he can't relate to like, why aren't you able to just hit it harder? Just be better. So a real hitting coach, I'm fine with a guy who's in khakis and a nerd and is able to look at the mechanics on video or whatever the case may be, right? Like, but again, a 264 league leading batting average for the Blue Jays in 2022, I don't have a problem with that.
They were sitting at third in the majors for OPS. They were fourth in the majors for slugging percentage. Like, this was not a team where we should be putting the hitting and the coaching under the microscope. I think that there are some holes that need to be filled within this organization. I just don't view it as offense. Anything to add there, buddy?
No, that's pretty much it, Scott.
But thank you so much for the comment. And here's the thing. We get called idiots on our views all the time. So I'm not saying we're right. It's just my opinion that offense is fine.
I would agree with you. All right. Next one comes in from Warloo22, says it's tiring to always hear about Vladdy and Bo's immaturity compared with other players. Having a personality shouldn't be a crime. Jose Bautista, Josh Donaldson, Edwin Encarnacion were awesome.
I love that handle, Warloo22. Warloo22. I don't know. Okay, so I agree with everything he just said. I will, I guess, clarify, just in case that comment is directed at us. If we came across like we were picking on their maturity level at any point like that, I think whenever we bring up Bo and Vladdy's maturity, it has a lot more to do with just reminding everyone of their age. And
it's not a knock. It's a qualifier of like, hey, yeah, these guys might have struggles, but remember, they're just 22. Like, it will come.
And this is the thing. You cannot accumulate experience without going through the trenches. You just don't get that part of the game without doing it, without playing the seasons. And so, and Warloo's even bringing it up here, right? Like the guys he mentioned, Jose Bautista, Josh Donaldson, like Edwin Encarnacion, walking the parrot. Like, yeah, they've got all sorts of personality and they were great.
What were they? They were also
like Josh Donaldson when he won the MVP was 30 years old, right? At that point, when Josh Donaldson won the MVP, Edwin Encarnacion was 33 and Jose Bautista was 34. So all we're saying is keep that in mind when you're comparing this 2022 team to the 2015 team. Is that this core is younger. They just are.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Bo obviously leads baseball in errors here and there. Maybe it's a big deal. Maybe it's not. But again, that's the maturity, right? Is like, it will get solved, right? And when we look back at like Marcus Semien, we did this a lot last year, where Marcus Semien, and we looked at his similar seasons developmentally to where Bo is currently, and it's like, oh, Marcus Semien hasn't always been a Gold Glover either.
Yes.
Right? Like, it does just take time, and I think that's...
At 26 years old, 2 years older than Bo Bichette right now, Marcus Semien was one of the worst defensive shortstops in all of baseball. I mean, that year was a turning point, and he became much better after that. But, like, I'm not saying constantly. This is the thing, too, because there is a fine line, and this is where I'm really glad that I'm not a general manager. I'm sure most of you are with me here. There is a fine line between giving too much rope but not giving enough, right? Like, baseball is such an interesting sport in comparison to a lot of the other professional sports in that it takes so much developmental time to get these guys to their prime, to their peak. So when you look at a guy like Bo Bichette and you're like, well, we should just move him to second. Maybe they should. But also, what if he's a Gold Glove shortstop at 27, which the value on that is through the roof. So you need to be able to go in there with your scouting staff, with your player development staff, and evaluate whether he's already hit his defensive peak or whether there's more in the tank. I think it's why they continue to push Bo out there, right? And it really did, despite his numbers being abysmal this year, he improved slightly over last year. And I think Matt Chapman being at third base helped a lot because, man, third base was a hole in 2021.
Yeah,
I more or less I'm agreeing with Warlew. I just wish to clarify that if it came across at any point that we were harping on Bo and Vlad about their personality or the amount of fun they have, that is not at all what we were trying to portray, and that was just a lack of communication.
Just to go back to the Marcus Semien comparisons too here, and I got it pulled up. Marcus Semien had the benefit of playing for the Oakland Athletics during all of those developmental years where he could be one of the worst shortstops in baseball and nobody was at a game to complain about it in Oakland.
Out of sight, out of mind. Yeah.
Right? Like, they were 20-30 games below 500 every season of Marcus Semien's developmental year. Their first winning season came in 2018. Obviously, they won 97 games back-to-back in 2018 and 2019 somehow. And Marcus Semien, yeah, in 2018 had a breakout season and turned things around. It's just Bo's going through these growing pains on a contending team that is, like, obviously the fan base is impatient about it. But it is worth noting that, like, 27, Bo Bichette could be a Gold Glove shortstop. Could be at least in the conversation for it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
And shortstop's the most difficult position on the diamond, totally. Right? Like, I guess you could argue catcher and center field in there too, but, like, shortstop is a premium position. Yeah.
Okay. Follow-up comment related to this. And thank you for that one, Warlew. But Mark Kaufman tweeted at us and said, just thinking of off-season trades, and I keep thinking this one makes some sense for both sides, as both players could use fresh starts. The deal Mark is proposing is Bo Bichette for Fernando Tatis Jr., one for one, straight across. Do you hate this as much as I do?
It's an interesting idea. It's a little flawed, in my opinion, for a few reasons. Number one, the San Diego Padres, between Jake Cronenworth and Ha-Sung Kim, are already pretty gummed up at shortstop and are focusing on moving Fernando Tatis Jr. into the outfield anyways. Mm-hmm. They were, before he was suspended for PEDs, he was getting a lot of play in left field. Number two, Bo Bichette's big knock is his defense. So if you're going to move Bo Bichette for Fernando Tatis Jr., I hate to break it to everybody, his defense is not any better. He's the Bo Bichette of the National League. He was an error machine at shortstop. Then you start to get into the intangibles, the culture of the clubhouse, the quality of the character, if you will. And there are some real question marks, in my opinion, around the quality of the character of Fernando Tatis Jr. A rich kid came up with his dad, who is also an MLB player, very much like Bo Bichette. But there's just an entitled vibe to Fernando that you don't get off of Bo. Now, yes, this would shake things up substantially. I just don't know if this is the clubhouse shakeup that I would be after. And then on top of all of that, there's the money. Fernando is under contract for 12 more years and owed, what is it, $280 million more dollars? Mm-hmm. Like there's a massive, massive contract attached to this guy, which if, and there's no guarantee that Rogers has the guts to do it, but if the Shapiro regime has convinced Rogers Communication that a monster mega deal must happen at some point, I think Vladdy is the guy they're going to do that with rather than bring in somebody from another organization who already has that money attached to them.
Great point.
Both are amazing players, by the way. And it is a really interesting idea of just a real shakeup for both organizations. I just don't know if it's the fit both teams would be looking for. Did you have anything to add there?
No, I mean, you couldn't give me enough money to take Fernando Tatis Jr. on my team. Even if the Padres paid half of that salary, I wouldn't do it. The injuries are a big concern for me. He's flashy. He's really flashy and a really good player.
How he's being injured is even a problem, right? He's showing up to spring training after motorbike accidents and shit, you know?
Tell me you're from rural Alberta without telling me you're from rural Alberta.
Everything's a dirt bike. It's got two wheels, dirt bike. That's a dirt bike.
Give me one of them street dirt bikes. All right. No, Bo Bichette, 159 games this year, 159 games last year. 2020 was a weird season, obviously the COVID season. Career batting average 297. Look, you and me just watched the Trey Turner, John Hamm hype video for free agency, and I'm sure we'll get to that at the end here. Trey Turner, career batting average over 300, right? Like last shortstop to have a career batting average when they retired over 300, Derek Jeter. 300, I mean, as our good friend, where is it now? Alan points out, sure would be nice to have a guy with a batting average of 280 to 300. Well, Bo Bichette does that. Like, career 297. Carlos
2021
Correa
led the league in hits.
Yeah.
2022 led the league in hits. Okay. Another little thing, Fernando Tatis Jr., do you know how many games he played in 2021? 59. 130 games last year, and he was eliminated from it because of the PEDs, right? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Good luck to Fernando Tatis and the Padres building a team around that albatross of a contract, but I want nothing to do with it. We've already got our fair share of potentially sinking contracts attached to this team.
Something we will get into.
We'll get into that later. We could hop to it right now, but let's get into it later. We'll get into that later. All right. Good comment there, but I have no interest in trading away Bo Bichette for Fernando Tatis Jr.
Hey, by the way, if you're listening to the mailbag and you've got comments on some of this stuff, feel free to drop it in the comments and we can kind of circle back to it next week if you want. It is the off season.
Need lots to talk about. All right, next one. Dulcimerist, player of the Dulcimer.
Dulci.
He says, here are some free agent relievers who don't have any club slash player options or pending decisions. Zach Britton, Aroldis Chapman. Michael Fulmer, Chad Green, Brad Hand, Kenley Jansen, Ian Kennedy, Craig Kimbrell, Corey Knebel, Seth Lugo, Trevor May, Rafael Montero, Adam Ottavino. The list goes on and on. The question is, who would be your first, second, and third choices? I hate these questions so much, Scott, because I could just
Pick three. You're going to get attached to them and they're not going to come.
I'm not
going to
get any of them. I don't even know if we'll get three, right?
Yeah.
I do want to just point out Rafael Montero. Career stats. Boy, did he ever have a great season with the Astros in that bullpen this year.
Mm-hmm.
71 games played. A whip of 1.02 and an ERA of 2.37. That's as good as it gets. But what do I always say about bullpen? And I'm giving myself too much credit here. This is what everybody says about the bullpen. It's a crapshoot.
Yes.
Right? Did Anthony Bass pitch great this year? Was he a very welcome arm to our bullpen? Absolutely. But does past success guarantee future success? Absolutely not. And Rafael Montero, I just want to point this out. 2022 with the Astros, we just went over his numbers. Extremely good. Do you know what his ERA was in 2021, the year before, with the Mariners?
No, I don't.
In 40 games with the Mariners, he had a whip of 1.64 and an ERA.
That's ugly.
And an ERA over 7.
Wow.
7.27. The Astros went out and got him from the Mariners.
6 whip. Yikes.
Yeah. But the Astros went out and got him, added him to their bullpen. He figured something out. Has been lights out for the Astros in a year and a half.
It's the velo, buddy, putting that cheese on there, right? Sprinkle like, that's the thing, man. There. If you can land a guy who throws 100 and you can figure something out with his secondary stuff, well, we just gave you his numbers.
Yeah. It's a big deal, so... Anyways, do you have any thoughts on bullpen? Do you have like a guy in mind that you're targeting? I mean, we were both kind of hoping for Edwin Diaz. I know that was a long shot, hope in the dark. Listen, but after that,
my big thing is I want a flamethrower. Yeah. I want a strikeout guy. I want a dude who can go out there and pitch 70 innings. I want a big stud. Robert Suarez is a name that definitely is appealing to me. Of course, he was a big high leverage dude with the Padres, kind of number one behind Josh Hader. Mm-hmm. He's a free agent. I would love to see the Blue Jays go out and make a bid on him. He's going to be highly sought after. But again, I'm not so much attached to the name as to if they are filling the need that we're after, which is a number eight or an eighth inning, ninth inning guy, high leverage dude, strikeout stuff, swing and miss stuff, right? Like this Blue Jays bullpen is better than most Jays fans give it credit for. And they do have a lot of specialty pitch guys, mm-hmm. dudes who are deceptive in their delivery. The guys like Trevor Richards and his changeup, Adam Simber and his sidearm, even Jordan Romano's slider, where you know he's got that heavy fastball and then he throws a slider and he just gets guys swinging over the top of it. That's the kind of arm we currently have, and I would love a dude who's just like heat.
Yeah, heat would be nice. That is. Sure. All right. Thanks for that one, Dulcimerist. Next one comes in from Twitter At Jolly Holly DM'd us and said, "Hey, Adam and Scott, this is my first time messaging you for the mailbag. I just saw Alek Manoah is a Cy Young finalist, which is so cool."
Yes.
"Do you think he will win it? And I hope you read my question."
Well, hope no longer, Holly.
Welcome to the mailbag.
Very, very cool to see 23-year-old Alek Manoah come up big this season for the Blue Jays. I mean, he had such a stellar rookie season last year. To watch, see, the sophomore slump is so prevalent after such a strong rookie season. And to watch the dude not only not have a sophomore slump, but take another step forward was very, very good to see. Very encouraging for this organization. And I cannot put enough emphasis on the importance of Alek Manoah to this team moving forward for so many reasons. Performance even aside. Do I think he's going to win the Cy Young this year? I don't. For several reasons, okay? Justin Verlander's numbers are slightly better. Justin Verlander just came off of Tommy John surgery. Justin Verlander is 40 years old. I don't want to say that it's the politics of it that's going to win it for him, but if you're a baseball writer and you're voting, and baseball's such a romantic sport as it is, how can you not look at Justin Verlander and give that check mark when you look at Alek Manoah and you're like, I can put a check mark next to his name next year or the year after that, you know? And that's the kind of pitcher Alek Manoah is turning into, a perennial stud, a guy who's going to go on the mound and give your team a chance to win every single start, which is what he did for this Blue Jays team. He's under contract until 2028.
Great point.
So I don't think, my guess is Verlander wins it. I don't think Alek is going to, but my goodness, man, what a accomplishment to even be nominated.
Yeah, accomplishment to be nominated. Absolutely correct. Yeah, Justin Verlander, probably it just makes too much sense to give it to him. I know postseason isn't supposed to be a factor. It's tough to ignore.
Yeah.
They won the World Series. He got his first World Series victory. Yeah, he's going to win. But still cool to be nominated and recognized at all. So,
and this, I know I touched on the importance of Alek Manoah to the Toronto Blue Jays organization going forward. And this is, I can't, if we could highlight how important he is on this video, we would. Like this is for so many reasons. And the reason it became more apparent to me, sorry, I'm not communicating this very well, but
no.
it became so apparent to me yesterday when you started to text me the money that is invested in this Blue Jays starting pitching, which honestly blew my mind. So for those of you out there who weren't aware of this, join my blowing mind as Adam lays some numbers down for you here as to the money invested in starting pitching and how it correlates to other teams.
All right, well, let's go to pitchers spending by team here. According to, let's just have a look here. Oh, Scott, I was supposed to have this ready and it's not ready. I sent you the screenshot, so I'm just going to look on my phone. I'm not pulling it up for the people watching, but the people listening will have a much better time here. So,
yes.
The way I want to start this question is, I'm not saying that Jose Berríos is a bust, but we gave him $130 million last offseason, and he returned the favor by giving us an ERA over 5. We owe him another $120 million over the next 6 years. That's $20 million a year.
He is making number one money and he gave in a number five performance.
A poor number five. Like, he did show his moments, and this is the one thing we always say, right? Is that, like, man, when he's on, he's on. Mm-hmm. But so up and down, and there doesn't really seem to be any rhyme or reason to what he's good against.
Yeah.
He pitches great at home, and then all of a sudden he gives up seven runs in the first inning at home. Oh, he's good at on the road, but only on night games. And then it's weird. There's no. So the question that started this conversation between you and I, Scott, was that. Is if he is a bust, if this is what we get six more years of, and we don't have any World Series rings in the next 5 years, is this one of the strongest things for us to point to when we're looking back 20 years from now and we go, oh, remember when we had Bo and Vlad coming up together and we had them basically for free and we didn't do anything with it? Is this one of the contracts, more than any other mistake that's been made, to blame?
Which is funny, because right away I answered with, well, you can go. I don't remember exactly, but.
Well, I don't have your text pulled up. I just have the screenshot, so.
Well, basically, I said, it better frickin' not be. And the Blue Jays better spend to make up for this mistake if that's the case.
Yeah, it was like, this contract doesn't have to sink us if we spend our way out of it.
Yes.
So then I pulled up the spending habits of this team. And the money that the Blue Jays have committed to pitchers next year. Starting pitchers, Blue Jays, second in all of baseball, behind only the Mets. Mets have $69 million committed to starting pitchers. Blue Jays have $56 million committed to pitchers. That's more than the Yankees. It's more than the Astros. That's more than the Dodgers. It's a big chunk of our payroll.
Especially when you put into perspective the fact that the Blue Jays' biggest need this offseason is probably another pitcher.
Another pitcher. These are teams that are spending closer to the max luxury tax threshold already, and we're spending a larger chunk of our team payroll on pitcher than they are. I think we spent 58%,
which is the highest in baseball, budget, by the way,
which is the highest in baseball on pitchers last year, which is just, it's insane. So it is just some, I don't know what the right answer is here. This is just me thinking out loud kind of a thing, but it's kind of weird to be like, well, we'll just spend our way out of this hole.
Which, going back to Manoa, goes to show you how important this dude is to this franchise, because right now Alek Manoa, and for the next couple of years, is going to be making about $750,000 a year. He is going to be making just over the league minimum. He doesn't even become arbitration eligible until I think it's 2025. Mm-hmm. So this low cost, high leverage dude
saving
is so important, is saving the money on this. And that's where you look at a guy like Ricky Tiedemann, you cross your fingers and hopes that he works out for the same sort of reason. And I think it also goes to reason that if the Blue Jays are going to add starting pitching, it most likely is going to be through trade for guys with perm and under contract. A reasonable contract. And there are guys out there. I know I was just reading in The Athletic today that the Mariners and the Blue Jays actually make a lot of sense to be a trade partner. The Blue Jays are flush with middle infielders, especially if you start to look at guys like Otto Lopez, Kevin Biggio. I know we even talked Davis Schneider is coming up the ranks, mm-hmm. right? And they're heavy with infielders as top prospects. Aralvis Martinez. These are the dudes, Addison Barger, right? These are the dudes that are coming up that could literally impact this team next season. So It means that Santiago Espinal has some real value. And this was the guy that they kind of brought up because the Mariners definitely need to shore up their middle infield and bring in a guy who can play every day at second base and get on base, which Santiago Espinal has been able to do his whole career, right? I think he's got a 285 batting average, career batting average. I need to look it up exactly, but it's somewhere right around there, right? And then a guy like Chris Flexen, because the Mariners do have a surplus of starting pitching right now. So a guy like Chris Flexen, who's under contract for another year, he's making $4.5 million. He could slot in at the back end of that Blue Jays rotation. Maybe you throw in a Penn Murphy, something like that, out of the bullpen. And that's a pretty even trade for both teams addressing areas of need. Until you showed me how much money is committed to starting pitching, Adam, I didn't really grasp the moves. And now that you did, I'm like, okay, so there are going to be trades. It's the trades are probably most likely going to be for starting pitching, because then you can control the money on the other side, yeah, right? I think the Blue Jays are going to sign a major free agent, but I think it's much more likely that that major free agent comes in the form of an outfielder or a center fielder, something like that.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. Okay. Next one comes in from Discord. So Scott Adams, the Jays fan, posted about the John Gibbons podcast. Great podcast, by the way. So he recently had Jordan Romano on the show, and Romano just said, the Markham Madman had said that after losing a couple weird games to the Rays at the Tropicana, they burned some sage in the locker room to get rid of the bad spirits, and then they started winning. So weird or bad juju, LMAO baseball is awesome.
Scott Adams there. Scott Adams, the Jays fan.
I don't really have anything to add here other than to, like, yeah, go check out John Gibbons' podcast for obvious reasons. If you're here and
friend of the show,
friend of the show, John Gibbons, get some pretty good guests. It's hard to argue. So we'll see if you can keep that up through the off season. But there you go. All right, next one comes in from Discord as well. So SI 500 posted last week when the Phillies were up 2-1 in the World Series. Posted the, does the Phillies' performance make the Jays rethink their priorities? Maybe adding a lefty bat and keep the focus on hitting. Looks like the best pitching teams don't necessarily win the World Series. We already have two elite starting pitchers, so maybe we just add bullpen and a lefty bat. Thoughts?
So this is where everyone watching this right now can pipe up and let us know what you think in the comments here. He makes a really good point. However, this was when the Phillies were up 2-1. Does it change your opinion at all watching the Phillies just lose the World Series? And feel free to comment there if it makes a difference in how you view this question. Personally, it doesn't really change it for me. I think he does make a really good point. The only problem with it is I want to win this AL East division. I am sick of these wild card shit. After being up 8-1 in the wild card and watching them lose, you know, this is the thing too. Look at the World Series. The Astros were down 2-1. If that's the wild card, Astros eliminated.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
So you want to avoid those short three series. Game series. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm sure the number of teams that have come back from down 2-0 in baseball playoffs, probably reasonably high.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably 70%, but I mean,
no,
like probably
20 to 30%. It's doable.
You got a chance.
It's not crazy.
You're not out of it.
Yes.
But in a best of three series, again, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would imagine the number of teams that come back from down 2-0 in a best of three series got to be close to zero.
Listen, we're not mathematicians here, but if we were to make an educated guess.
There you go. All right. Let's move on from
I think
that.
A lefty,
like,
I mean, we'll move on. But yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. A little bit of we've talked ad nauseum about the batting order and how it's very repetitive. It's all righties.
All right. Last one from Discord here. And then I have a piece of real mail that I'm going to open live.
Oh, yeah. Garth's
I was supposed to tease this right off the start of the show, and then I forgot about it. But we do have a real piece of mail and a real knife. God willing, I'll get into there after this last comment here. So last one from Discord. There's a lengthy discussion in the Discord last few days. It was just started by a new member. R Henry 896, which, by the way, we do love to see new members get active right away, as you were talking about right off the start of the show. But talks eventually turned to Trey Turner, Carlos Correa. No one really thought that the Blue Jays would really pursue either of them, but those were the two names that basically everyone agreed they'd be willing to move Bo to second for. So what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, those are probably the two names. Xander Bogaerts and Dansby Swanson, I'd probably consider pretty strongly, too. If those are the top four free agent shortstops on the market, and they are definitely big-time shortstops, it's going to be really interesting to see.
How many of them go to the Rangers?
The numbers attached to these guys. Yeah, the Rangers signed two of them.
Oh, man, what a shocker last year. Anyways. Was it Corey Seager and Marcus Semien both went to the Rangers last year?
Yes, sir. That's right.
And I've heard the Rangers are going to be one of the top bidders in on Jacob deGrom this offseason.
I heard that too. And I mean, why wouldn't they be? They've got everything but pitching. So yeah, they need pitching worse than we do, if that's a possibility.
There you go.
I don't know if you saw, I think you did, right? I told you to watch it. The YouTube,
John
Hamm voicing. John Hamm voicing a video. Just like, I think there's not a player out there that he couldn't do that for. That I'm like, you know what? I want that now.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It was weird because in my head, I built it up to be a lot like more theatrical. This like free agency hype video. I don't even really. It's weird that it exists.
Yes.
Trey Turner pretty clearly done with the Dodgers. John Hamm wants him to go to the Cardinals. Does Trey Turner, by hiring John Hamm to narrate this video, also want to go to the Cardinals? I don't know. It's weird, man. Yeah, I couldn't help but go like, man, he's making some good points, though, in this video. Like, it was a pretty chill, low-energy hype video, which kind of threw me off. But when the numbers speak for themselves, you don't really need
the numbers speak for themselves. Like, since 2019, he's got, I think it was the second highest wins above replacement in baseball. He is the only shortstop with a career batting average of over 300. The last shortstop to have a career batting average of over 300 was Derek Jeter. He hits for power. He's a whiz on the base path. He's got speed. He plays a premium position in shortstop.
He plays it well.
Defensively considered one of the top in baseball. And I know that we've had Dodger content creators on the podcast in the past, and they feel like he's maybe not as good defensively as he gets credit for, but nonetheless, whatever, right? You watch anybody 162 games a year and you're gonna be like, I don't know about his defense. Like,
it is what it is.
Would you say Carlos Correa ranks higher than Trey Turner, maybe just because of age?
Carlos Correa, how old is, because I know Carlos Correa is very young. I wasn't considering Correa's... Trey Turner to become a free agent, honestly. I thought that the Dodgers were just going to retain him, so I didn't seriously consider him as an option up until the last couple weeks, when it sounds like they're going to be pursuing Aaron Judge instead. How old is Trey Turner?
Yeah, so like
Carlos Correa is what, 28 now?
Yeah, he's 28. Trey Turner's 29. So I, you know,
Okay, a year older. I don't know how much of a difference that makes then. He's been to the postseason 5 times in his 7-year career. I really like that.
Yeah. Man, Dansby Swanson's 28 and Xander Bogaerts is 27. Like, what a just all these free agent shortstops in legitimately the prime of their career. What's hilarious, dude, is we talked last year, like, oh yeah, if I'm Correa, I'm opting out after the first year.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be the best free agent on the shortstop market. And now you're looking at it and I'm like, wow, this is another like super deep shortstop class in 2022.
Last year's free agent class for shortstops may have been deeper. Like, I think there were 8 or 9 pretty good candidates. But this, I think, is deeper at the top, which is a weird sentence to say.
Yes.
Whatever that, like, A tier is of shortstops, there's definitely more of them this year than there was last year. I think last year it was, like, Correa and Marcus Semien. And I guess Corey Seager were your 3 options.
The number of high-end quality shortstops in Major League Baseball right now, it's probably the biggest shift we've seen in the game over the last 20 years, eh?
Yeah.
Like, man, look back 20 years ago. Like, premium shortstops, they weren't a dime a dozen. Like, I know they're not a dime a dozen right now. I'm overblowing it. But, like, man, there are like 10 to 15 high-end shortstops in Major League Baseball right now. Like, half the teams have a high-end shortstop.
Have you heard of this guy? He just won a major award the other day. Jeremy Peña.
Yeah.
World Series MVP shortstop.
Right.
25 years old. Honestly, it's kind of weird how old he is.
Yeah.
To be a rookie. Like, this is
a real Aaron Judge, if you will.
A real Aaron Judge. Look, he's going to be in his arbitration years until he's 30.
Yeah.
Like, is kind of where I was expecting to go with this. I didn't realize he's 25 until just now. But I kind of expected to take this in the angle of, you know, all these young guys, they get called up so much younger than they ever did before, right? And that's a reason I think we never saw free agent classes like this 20 years ago, right? Was a guy didn't make the big, like, making the big leagues at 23 was like super young.
Like, Albert Pujols went to free agency at 31.
Yeah.
Legend, Hall of Famer, Albert Pujols.
But you legitimately see guys getting called up at 20 years old.
Yeah.
Regularly.
And
now,
sticking.
You know, of
and
these sticking top prospects. Yeah. So, yeah. And they stick. So that gets them on that trajectory to hit free agency at 27 years old, which, again, starts in their prime at that point, right? Like, they've had one or two seasons of like MVP caliber, you know, home run titles, whatever the case may be. And 27 as a free agent, like, whew, that is an appealing guy to spend money on.
I mean,
especially
it's
if
wild.
There is an injury history with a guy and he's 27, like, that's pretty safe money. So
it is wild to think that a guy like Vladdy is already 3 years into his service time in comparison to Jeremy Peña, who is 2 years older and his service time just started.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. All right, we're going to end the mailbag with this last one, some real physical mail, which I'm excited to get to here.
Yes, Garth Yorgi, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, sent us some mail. So, Scott, I know he already sent you yours.
Yes.
I don't know if we got the same exact thing or not. It feels like baseball cards.
Mm-hmm. That's what I got.
Hold on. I'm trying very carefully to not cut myself here with my big aggressive knife that I am not nearly qualified to wield. This is
look at you. Oh, that's a you could gut a deer with that. You're a real man's. Yeah.
Real man's knife, and I'm using it as a letter opener. So all right, so we got our package.
Hey, yeah.
All right. Garth Eorgi's Wax Facts, Wax Packs. So
yes,
appreciate the nice packaging here. Go check out Garth's YouTube channel where he does card opening and stuff like that.
It's very cool. Absolutely.
Been a big supporter of the channel for a long time. So
if you are a baseball fan, by the way, definitely follow him on Twitter, Garth at Garth Eorgi. He's also on Instagram, and most of his stuff on Instagram is cards. And then, you know, there's a lot of shit posting on Twitter as well, but he does touch on it quite a bit on Twitter as well.
There we go. All right. So here we go. Let's see what we've got in here. Ooh, nicely packaged. It's,
yeah,
it's sealed. I feel like I'm opening real baseball cards here. What do we got? All right. We've got Robin Yount. Very nice little mustache on that. Oh, Devon White. I had a
Milwaukee Brewer.
I had a Devon White baseball glove when I was a kid.
Nice. Yeah,
the Rawlings glove with the signature.
Yes. Love Devon White.
This. Here's a beauty one. This is a Vlad Guerrero Jr. Holographic shiny card.
Hey.
Very lovely. Love that one. David Phelps, pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. Maybe you've heard of him.
Yes.
David one Phelps, by the way. Should the
one
Blue
of the
Jays,
few free agents this year.
Should the Blue Jays re-sign David Phelps?
I would say so.
Ooh, I see a Dwayne Ward here.
Hey,
another Blue Jays
one.
It. Love it. Greg Olson, catcher. Jeff Leonard. Love these. You know what? I'm not a big Giants fan, but the black and orange, I got to say, is like a really good color scheme.
Yeah, it is. And it's so iconic. I mean, you just, it's hard not to. Hard not to picture Willie Mays.
Yeah. We got, this is one definitely for me. Dave Leiper, Edmonton Trappers card.
Hey!
So very cool there.
For those of you too young to remember, there were AAA teams in Canada back in the day, the Edmonton Trappers and Calgary Cannons taking up the Alberta section of the AAAs.
All right. Next one. One of my favorites as a kid, Ken Griffey Jr. Very nice.
Yes.
Alex Cobb. Never liked Alex Cobb. That's going in the discard pile. George Springer.
Hey.
Very nice. Very nice. In his Houston Astros jersey. I'll have to send that one to my dad. He'll hate it. We got Buster Posey again in the Giants, orange and black. Buster Posey. One of the greatest catchers of all time. Hard to argue. Except for maybe this catcher. And this is the last one. Catcher. You may know him. Buck Martinez.
Bucky. There he is.
Very cool. So appreciate the cards, Garth. That was a lot of fun. Love it very much.
Thank you so much, everybody, for all the interaction. We really appreciate it. We run Mailbag every single Tuesday. Our new show is every Friday. Long Toss. We are going to continue to do Long Toss throughout the off season, but probably only once a month, where we bring in all sorts of different content creators from around MLB and kind of just have a more broad chat. Obviously, we still focus on the Jays, but we definitely brought in the scope a little bit there. We've got our betting show. We're partnered with BetStamp. We do that every single Wednesday. And Adam and I are also trying to get creative here and do some new stuff. So you can expect some new style content from us over the off season. Really appreciate all of you and your interactions. You can be get a hold of us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. Join the Discord. We always have new members joining. There's always baseball talk going on there, even in the off season. The link for that is in the show notes. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you very much to our Patreon as well. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.